Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Alex Bryan.
Hello. As you can see, I need to get an iPad. But it's all good. It's all good for today. So, who's excited for this?
Yeah!
Who's coming to this?
Yeah.
I am, yeah! Cool. Right, do you know, it's going to be a significant time, this, right? And this bit is going to come up. God was speaking to me as we sang that bit, this bit in the pre-chorus, when it comes up. But just before that, while I'm stood here, I'm giving a message. I'm painfully aware that it's not just about me, you know, that it's not just about one. It's not just about, I'm giving a message today. But you know what God's saying to me today is that it's about us as a group of people. Pastor Paul said just a moment ago how it's so important for us to come together and for us to be at this. Because it's important, because it's about all of us. You know, God's done mighty things through mighty people in the past. You know, men of faith and women of faith, giants in the faith, you know. And that was great. That was awesome. And these people have seen great things happen. But what God's doing now is incorporating all of us in the same way that he did with those giants of faith, you know. He wants to raise all of us up to be men and women of faith like these giants were. You see some of the things they did. And he's saying, guys, you can do that. But, you know, you can build on that. They went before, they laid a foundation. And now we can come in and we can reap the harvest of what these people sowed, you know. We've seen revivals happen and then they kind of fizzle out a bit. But the fruit of what has happened there hasn't died away. It's still there. And what God was working through those people is still alive today. What I love about this is, you know, you shine brighter than the midday sun. Your life lighting up a brand new dawn. And what God said to me when I sang that is, you know, this is the brand new dawn. It's happening now. We're living in this brand new dawn. You know, and Jesus wants us, you know, he's saying to me this week, he was breaking my heart this week because he was saying to me, Alex, like Pastor Paul's been speaking, life's too short, you know. And life's too short to fill your life with things that get in the way of me, things that get in the way of what I want to do through you, how I want to speak my love into people's lives through you. You know, and he took me to this scripture, and you know, the way I read it out in my notes, this scripture was going to come on later on, but Jesus said, you know, use this scripture from the beginning. So this is it. It's in Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Okay, it's called, Paul's talking about being living sacrifices. It says, in the light of this wonderful mercy God has shown us, I strongly encourage you, as my brothers, to give your bodies to God in living sacrifice. Do what is holy and pleasing to him. This is the kind of worship he really wants, and that is the outworking of the life of his Spirit who lives within us. In order to live like this, you cannot live according to the standards of the world around you. You need a completely different mindset so that you are certain of God's will for your life and are prepared to put his will into action. For his will is good. It pleases him because it is perfect. You know, and God will speak, guys, don't look at me this morning and think, oh, this guy's got it going on, you know. This guy's been living perfectly, you know. These guys know that's not true, you know. I've been doing an internship for a year. Well, not a year, you know. I've been doing an internship for how many months it is, since September. And you know, it's only been this past week. I mean, I've encountered God in the same way that I have this past week before. But then I've let it slip away. You know, and this past week, God came to me and he was just like, you know, and it's not just me, I'm not special. You know, I just chose to say, God, here I am. And he came and he made me break down because he showed me his love for me. But he not only showed me his love for me, he showed me his love for everybody else as well. And that's what broke my heart this week, you know. And this week I've, you know, sometimes before I've had a day, I've had a morning, you know, where I've spent time with Jesus and that kind of thing's happened. And then I've let it slip away. But he's been doing it every day this week. And it might be because I've been preparing for today. But I believe it's because this is a brand new dawn. You know, this is a brand new dawn. And he's doing it in me, but he's doing it in everybody. You know, this isn't just for me. This isn't just for one person. This is for everybody. God is raising us up to be a host of people together that stand together and do this thing together. Yeah. we're encouraged by Paul so many times to walk together, to be accountable to each other. And, you know, I think what God's saying to me today is go up there and say what's been going on in your life. Make yourself accountable to these other people in the church. Because by doing that, you know, you'll continue to live in what I've called you to live in. This fire that I've started in your heart won't die out if people are saying to you, you know, how have you been doing? Or, I'm not quite seeing that today. And I'll be like, yes, Lord, thank you. Because I need that to keep going, you know. So I love that scripture. You have to be a different breed of people. This is what Lord's saying to me. We have to be a different breed of people, you know. He's been calling me to live my life, set our lives apart. And there's this wonderful song that's been in my head called Burning Ones. And in this song, it's by Jesus Culture. And in this song, it's us singing to God about His love and how we want His love to be manifested in our lives. You know, and the bridge bit says, so that your love be like a fire, let our lives be like a flame. Fill our souls with your desire. Let our passion bring you fame. And this is what started. Started this, you know, fire in my heart this week that broke me down. You know, listening to this song and just capturing God's heart. You know, that He wants His love to be like a fire within the church. You know, fire. If it catches hold of something else, it sets that thing on fire. You know what I mean? If there's something out there that it touches and that can be set on fire, then that will set on fire, you know. And Jesus said that I came to bring fire into the world. And He says, you know, I wish it had already started to burn. And this is when He was talking about His ministry and this new thing that God was doing in His people. And that's in Luke 12:48-49. And it's the end of 48. He said, you know, I've entrusted you with so much, and with this responsibility, you'll find even more is expected of them. And then that's when Jesus says, I came to bring fire on the earth, you know. And, you know, we've been trusted with so much. As Christians, we've come into this walk of God. What God's trusted us with is letting this fire in us be known, letting this love within us. His love burns like a fire within us. Let this fire be known to people that are out there, you know what I mean? We have great times of worship in here, and it's awesome. And in that scripture, it says how, you know, your life should be the worship. I want you to live lives of worship towards me. You know, that's what I desire for you to do. God desires to meet with us every single day, powerfully and tangibly. The way that we can meet Him here, we often do because there's so many encouraging us and everything. And God wants to meet us like that every single day. And because if we meet Him like that, we'll have that love within us to be able to go out and it will just be there. God will be there. God will show up because He's within us, you know. And He wants to speak through us. Yeah. Jesus is good. Hallelujah. You know, God wants every single one of us to capture His heart, you know. Because that makes it worth it, you know. I mean, God loves us, and so when we become His children, you know, that's amazing to Him. He rejoices, you know. And you know, but He doesn't want to just have a relationship with us. He wants us to have a relationship with Him, so we can know His love and take His love to the world. You know, like Paul and Sue Manwaring coming over from Bethel, California. That's amazing, yeah. But God won't waste their time. He won't waste money for them to be here. They're coming because it's significant. In the same way, you know, they're coming because it's significant this weekend. But in the same way, our lives are significant, you know. God doesn't waste anything. God pours out His Spirit on us on Sunday mornings, yeah. And He can do it, but He does it every single day. That's what He's saying to us, you know. And He doesn't waste anything. What He gives to us, He says His word won't return void, you know. So what God pours out on us, He won't waste it, you know. If we speak it out into people's lives, it won't return void. That love that is within us will change people's lives, you know. And I've been watching these films this week. One's called Father of Lights, one's called Holy Ghost. I don't know if some of you have heard of them. They're documentaries about this guy follows people with a camera that are ministering Jesus to people in the world. And it's been amazing, like, to see what God can do when you fully commit your life to Him, when you fully surrender to His love, because you know His love is so amazing, what God will do through you, you know. And in these documentaries, you see His love moving through people, you know, and into people, and He heals people. And there's so many good works done in there. And it just inspired me this week, you know. I'm trying to think of stories from that thing that I can use, but it's kind of hard at the moment. But yeah, he moves so powerfully. And what I kept capturing from them when I watched it was, it's not about them. These people have been all sorts of people, you know. You know, they've come from all sorts of backgrounds. It's not about what they did. What they're doing now is just opening their heart to God and enabling God to set their heart on fire for Him, to let His love pour out on them, you know. And He's doing the same thing in us now. And this fire, you know, when I was encountering God and I started to experience Him in this way, and He was speaking to me about His fire, you know, through this song, I thought, okay, I'll go to the scripture and look what else it says about Jesus' fire, you know, about God's fire in the scripture. And the scripture in Jeremiah is so wonderful, the way he says this, you know, about this passion that's within, about the word of God within him. Jeremiah says, you know, he says, I thought to myself, it's in Jeremiah 20 verse 9, I thought to myself, I will no longer speak of him or even mention his name. You know, he's trying not to speak of God. In this situation it is, and he's trying not to speak of God. But then he says, but his word burned in my heart like a fire in my bones even. Trying to refrain from speaking is wearing me out, and I cannot remain silent. You know? That's what I believe God's doing in us today. He's putting His love and His passion so deep within us and into our bones and into our heart, you know, that we can't stay silent. That it wears me out. That's what I want to be like, you know, as I live. You know, I'll be like out there and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should say anything, but I want it to make me tired if I don't speak of God's love into someone's heart, you know. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, He said to do the will of His Father was His bread, you know. You know, he could eat normal food. Yeah, that was good. That was all right. But he wasn't satisfied, you know. I don't want to be satisfied living every day and living a normal life and not doing the will of my Father, you know. Not doing the will, His will. His will is clear. It says love. Love people. His greatest commandment was love, you know. And I've thought so many times, you know, if I do this, maybe someone will come, you know. Maybe I can persuade them to come to church. But I think God's even saying to me, you know, before that you even persuade them to come to church, let them experience my love. You know, people won't, you know, God's been speaking to me about how His love, His faith, having faith in Him isn't a perk, you know. It isn't a perk. But It's not a package, you know what I mean? You know, it's not like a, you know, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, 3-in-1 package that you can add onto the side of your life there. You know? That's not what God's doing. That's not what God wants to do in my life. You know? He's calling me to make my life Him. I am the package that contains Him, you know what I mean? People if you've just got this package here, people have got good lives. Don't. Let's not deny it. People have got okay lives, good lives. You know, we know the fullness and love of Jesus. So to us, we see people living out in the world, and we're like, you know, they need Jesus because we know how great it is to know Him. We've encountered Him, you know. But if we live like this with this package on the side, like, oh yeah, I'm living my life, I'm doing my thing, and this is also there as well. It's kind of cool, you know. People will be like, yeah, but my life's good. You know, I've got a good car, I've got a good house, you know, I've got a lovely family, I've got all the food I need to eat. So, I don't really need that, I'm not going to add that on, it's just another thing that's going to make me busy, you know. But if you live Jesus, if Jesus is inside of you, you know, if people see Jesus right there, if I'm standing here, and I'm living in the fullness of what God is doing in my life, And if I'm letting Jesus penetrate me, you know, live fully within me, then Jesus will come through me. And it won't be me that you see anymore. It will be Jesus. You know? That's what he's calling us to live like. Each and every one of us. You know, and we can't... The great irony is we can't do anything about it. But then we have to give ourselves fully to him, you know? We can't do anything about it. But you do have to do something. You know, you do have to make a decision. It's not about acts. I can't, like, if I read my Bible for this amount of time every day, and I pray for this amount of time, then God will send his fire within me. He'll send his Holy Spirit, his love, deep within me. That won't do it. What you have to do, this is why I was saying, you know, it sounds ironic because I'm saying don't do anything, but then do something. You know, what you can do is submit yourself to God. You know, if I'm like that, people will see Jesus in me. And I can't persuade them to come to church. I can't persuade them. I was talking to this man last night on Safe Haven, and I thought the conversation started really well. You know, he was open. He said, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And, you know, I've been brought here. And, you know, now I've met you, and you're such a lovely guy. He was quite drunk, but, you know. I'm not saying I'm not a lovely guy, but he was quite drunk, you know. And he was saying, you're such a lovely guy. How are you such a lovely guy? You're such a lovely guy. And I was saying, well, it's Jesus in me, you know. So we started talking, and we were talking more about Jesus and God. And then I told him how I was born again because the Spirit had come and lived in me and had made me born again. Because he said he believed in God, he believed in Jesus. And he said, you know, if I believe in Jesus, that's okay. I don't need to go to church. I can do what I want. I believe in Jesus. And, you know, I was just like, mate, it's great that you believe in Jesus. You know, Jesus loves you, you know. But I believe that Jesus is living inside of me. And because of that, it changes my life. Because this guy was saying, sorry, I might speak a bit fast now. This guy was saying, you know, I believe in Jesus, but, you know, I could see that things still went wrong in his life. He was telling me. He was telling me how his 3-year-old daughter lives here with her mum. He used to live in London and commute, so now he's bought a place, and he lives here, and he's bored, so he goes out and he gets drunk. And his 3-year-old daughter lives here, and he wants to be with her, but there's so many things that have gone wrong in his life. He's a bad guy, he was saying. And I was like, yeah, and we both believe in Jesus. We both believe he's real. If you let him come inside of you, he'll change your life. You know, he'll change your life. I said I was born again. And he was saying, oh, born again people, you know. He had this kind of view again of born again people. So I was almost like, oh, Jesus, why did I mention that, you know? Why can't I just keep saying about your name, you know what I mean? Now I've learned that lesson. But, you know, it was difficult. It was difficult. I just had to let Jesus work through me, you know, and come through me in that situation. And it turned out that he was from Malta, and he was part of this Knights of the Templar thing. I was like, whoa, cool. So it was just hard work, but Jesus was working through me, you know. That was just last night, and this has happened this week. I've been on Safe Haven so many times, and I've stood there, and I'm like, I'm so tired, I just want to go out. Come on, what time is it? I just want to go home. But now Jesus was working through me, and he's like, Alex, look, stop wasting your time. What's the point in being stood here if you're not going to say, if you're not going to express who I am to people? So I tried my best to this guy, and I hope that Jesus comes into his life radically, you know, and changes his life, because his love is so good. Ah, let me have a drink. I kind of forgot what I was saying. What was I saying before I started talking about that guy? I don't know. Jesus. You know, I was talking about living our lives devoted to him, that you'll see Jesus through me, won't you? You know, not about having it as a package there and a perk. And, you know, yeah, that's how Jesus wants us to live. He wants, this is Pentecost, you know, this is Sunday, you know, Pentecost Sunday, you know. And you know, the same power that came within the apostles in Acts, when they poured out his Holy Spirit on them at that time, is in us as well, you know. That same day on Pentecost, however many thousands of years ago it was, I'm not a great historian, like Pastor Paul, he's amazing. You know, that same power that Jesus poured out then, his Holy Spirit, that saved 3,000 people that day is in us today. You know, do we believe that? If we really submit ourselves to Him and that same power lives within us, then people can know Jesus, you know. And that's what it's about, you know. I don't want to pray and read the Word and ask the Spirit to come and live within me so that I've got something extra. You know, I want to pray and read the Bible and spend time with God so that He breaks my heart for His people. So that through His grace, I might be able to go out there. I will be able to go out there and show His love to people. You know, that's what He's been doing this week, breaking my heart for His people that don't know Him. You know, I was thinking about the reward that we have stored for us in heaven. You know, we say we don't want to store up riches on earth. You know, we want to store up heavenly riches. And to me, I was thinking, what are these heavenly riches? God was talking to me about these heavenly riches. I was thinking about it. I was talking to Brian yesterday a bit about it. And we were just talking. I was saying, what do you think these heavenly riches are? You know, and I was thinking that sometimes I think myself, in this materialistic way of thinking that we have, I could imagine these heavenly riches are some sort of crazy jewels and precious metals that I don't know anything about. You know, and when I get there, I'll see these and be like, whoa, Jesus, that's amazing riches over there, you know? Oh no, sorry, that's... but Jesus was saying to me, you know, what's the most precious thing to God? What is the most precious thing to God? It's us, you know? And the reason I believe He's breaking my heart, and He wants to break all of our hearts for the people that are out there that don't know Him, And He wants that love to be shared with them, is because they are the most precious things to Him, you know. And you know, the riches I want to build up in heaven, I was saying to Brian, is when I get to heaven, I want to spend time, I want to pray, I want to gather with people, I want to become radical, you know. Why are we scared of being radical, you know? I mean, you know, Jesus was radical. People didn't like Jesus. They crucified Him. He wasn't bothered about His image. He was radical. He stepped in the way of the people that were going to stone the prostitute, you know. And He wasn't cared about His image in that moment. He cared about embracing this woman because that was His heart. His heart from God for the Father, for that child, you know. And that's... I'm thinking, why have I been so bothered, you know? I feel like God's called me to work within the church. But even in that, I've still been bothered about my image and what... you know, what I think I look like or what other people think I look like. And I don't want to be bothered about those things. I want to be concerned with, I want to spend as much time with Jesus as I can. I want to say, do you want to do this instead of that today? You know, let's not be distracted by that. Let's just do this. You know, I'm not going to stand here and preach that films aren't good to watch sometimes, because I love films. If you came to my house and saw the shelves full of DVDs, you'd know that. but that's the challenge for me. I love watching TV and films, and God's saying, why watch those things when you can pray and see these heavenly riches build up? You know, these heavenly riches, when I get to heaven, what I'd love to see is a host of people, like, with gleaming smiles on their faces. And they're not looking at me. They're looking at Jesus, and they're praising Him. And they're filled with His love, you know. That's the heavenly riches. That's what I believe these heavenly riches are. God's got a lot in store for us, you know. That's what I want to build up, you know. I used to listen, well, I have listened to before some snippets of sermons by Leonard Ravenhill, and in it, he just quoted what A.W. Tozer said to him once. He said... and this was really shattering, you know, when I was thinking about it, you know. He said, quote, "Len, when we get to heaven, when we go to heaven, we'll barely take a foot out of earth into eternity and see all the riches that Jesus Christ had for us and think, you know, look at all this. And I came to the seat of God, a pauper." You know what I mean? I don't want to be a pauper in heaven. I want to be a pauper on earth. You know, Lord, take everything that I've got, so that I can build up those heavenly riches, you know. Yeah. I can't say any more. That's it. You know, I just want to encourage us to, you know, just like I'm making myself accountable to you today, let's encourage each other, make ourselves accountable to each other, to pray together, to capture the heart of God. Look, I'm talking to you today, but the words I say, the words I say won't change your mind, you know. You know, they won't change your heart. It's only an encounter with God that will change our hearts. It's only an encounter with God that will change anyone's heart, you know. That's why we need to be so close to Him. We need to be so filled with His love. Because then people will be able to encounter that love. That's what was so amazing about watching these films, that these guys aren't concerned about anything but sharing His love. Father of Lights, it kind of explores who God is as a father. How people grew up in, you know, these people that lead in ministries, they grew up in church thinking, you know, God's either sad or mad, you know, He doesn't, you know, He's disappointed or something because we do things wrong. But then they learn that God is love. He's not brought down or mad or sad by what we do, if we sin or anything. He's love. He's just like, come on, let's get it going again. Let's continue. And this is what, these guys are so full of that. And they just go out, and one of them says, you know, I want to love as many people to Christ as I can. And he sees healings and stuff because he's so filled with that love. You know? And I want to be filled with that love. And the only reason those guys are like that, they're not better than any of us. You know? I'm not better than anyone. We're just... Honestly, we're designed to be shells to house the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we all look different and we've got different personalities. But in some sense, God got His image and went, you know, and later on maybe it was like, oh, I'll tweak that one that way a bit because that's interesting. Because God's like that, God's personal. But we're designed to house His Holy Spirit. You know, He manufactured us in that way. He designed us in that way. And that's why we can do that as well. If we allow His Holy Spirit to come within us, we can love people just as they can. We can see things just as much as they can, you know. And that's what I want. And that's what I want to do. That's all I want to do, you know. I don't want to let things get in the way anymore. I don't want to be so busy with, you know, I work in the church during the week and we do some great things here. But I think because I know everything that goes on, I allow myself to get so busy with what the church is doing that I don't let God do what He wants to do. You know? This is why it's been so powerful this last week, because I look back over since September and I'm like, Alex, who have you loved to Christ? I can honestly stand here and say, I've loved some people because I know in my head it's the right thing to do. But I wouldn't be surprised if I haven't loved anyone to Christ because I haven't been living it out in there. I haven't led them to that encounter with Christ. And it's simple as that. I know God can work in wonderful ways. So by His grace and mercy, people I've met, then they might know Him more, you know, over this past, you know, so many months. But I want to change that now. I want to turn. I want to look up. I want to gaze at Him, you know, and be filled with that love. So that when I see people during the week, I can step out of that busyness. God's not just another extra bit to add on to everything else that's going on. God's like, oh, you know, He is everything that's going on. You know.
Praise God. Oh, I've got some notes here. I could have a go with your notes. We'll give the people at the back the cards. And then they can, you know, seven, as they vote on it. I'm just using your Bible here. Apologies, Alex. But I want to finish where you started, because it was such a good verse. Hey, let's just listen to that again. It really summed up everything that you've been saying, I thought, this morning. When I was a university student, I belonged to a group called the Navigators. It was a Christian group, it come out of American sailors, which is why it was called the Navigators. We just called it the Navs. But I remember being challenged by a speaker one day when we were gathered. And he just said, I mean, it's not a literal thing, it's just a pictorial thing. But he said, when you get to heaven, how many people are going to be in the queue behind you? And his whole vision that he was saying was, the people behind you are those who you were part of, or solely of, leading to the Lord. And I remember at that point really thinking, I want that to be a long queue. Because that is your riches, like Alex was saying. How long is the queue going to be behind you? That's a good one, isn't it? Because that is why we're here, to share this amazing love of Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm blessed. I get to cheat a little bit because I can stand here and give people opportunity to come to salvation. I mean, if there's anybody here this morning and you don't yet know Jesus, I'm serious. It's time to join the adventure. All right, it's time to join. I'm not soft-pedaling it to you, though. It's not just come and sit in an armchair. We work. We're called then to take Jesus' message to the world. So don't come up here if you just think, oh, I'll just get a blessing. You're going to get a blessing, but you're called to be part of a team that's changing the world, which is why the entire world is covered with Christians, and yet it began with just a small group of people in an obscure little nation in the middle of a huge empire. I mean, when you think about it, Christianity is amazing. What happened from one obscure man that just really only performed his ministry for about 3.5 years. How on earth did that happen? Because it happened in heaven first. But you are part of that plan. How do you become part of that plan? It's in here. It's in that verse from Romans. In the light of this wonderful mercy, Paul, who wrote this, is just outlining that you can be part of God's plan, not because of who you are or what you've done or what you've not done, but because God's mercy has made that possible in the death and resurrection of Jesus. So in the light of this wonderful mercy God has shown us, I encourage you to give your bodies to God in living sacrifice. Do what is holy and pleasing to him. That is the kind of worship he really wants. You know, you can have organs, you can have choirs, you can have guitars, you can have stained glass windows, you can have colored lights. You can have people falling over in the spirit, you can have people laughing in the spirit, you can have people hovering in the spirit even. But the real worship that counts is when we give our lives to his service. I mean, that's what makes a difference. That's what changes the lives of others. When you meet somebody who doesn't yet know Jesus, they aren't really interested in whether you had a fantastic experience in the worship. It's great to have that because it charges us up. But the true worship God desires is people that are living it. Isn't that amazing? This is the kind of worship he really wants, that is outworking of the life of his spirit who lives within us. Live like this, he says, and then don't live. Because you're living in the spirit, you can live apart from the standards of this world. I mean, it's a challenge. All around us, every day, people are living their lives in a different way to what we're called to live. And we have to daily, probably hourly, make a decision. No, I am different. I am different. I am different. And that's why we don't merge in with the rest. Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Alex. Let's give him a round of applause. That was a brilliant first talk. Hallelujah. Have you had a good morning? Did we ever get that song that you mentioned set up at the back? Shall we? Do you have that song? Is it there? Well, as we finish, why don't we play that song? I mean, I don't know if we've got even the words for you to reflect on as we go through it. As we go, if you were seeking healing this morning, or if you do want to follow Jesus, come and see me right at the end. If you want to receive healing, just see any of these guys sat on the front here, and they'll release healing into you. If you want to know Jesus, you can see any of them, but I'd particularly like to say hi and lead you to the Lord, because I'm on a big queue. But you could go and see Alex, because he's looking. It's a team thing, really. The people in our queue, they're effectively in lots of people's queues. It's never one person. Every person that gets saved here on a Sunday morning is probably in our queue, because we've all been part of it. Yeah, the person that said hello, and the person that gave him a cup of coffee, and the person that sat next to somebody that was looking alone, we're all part of their story. Amen. So we'll listen to that song from Jesus Culture, and we'll have a great cup of coffee. Have an awesome week. Talking of coffee, we want to do some Hub Express points during this, because we want a couple more points to serve coffee, because there's going to be so many people here, just to make it quicker for people. You don't need to be a barista. You don't need to know how all the machines work. This is just filter coffee and tea from hot water. So, and you don't even need to know how to operate a till. So you probably do need to know how to give change, maybe, but simple change. Could you see Kate at the end? Because we haven't actually got enough people at the moment to be able to run two extra points, and we'd like to do that. And it'll just be after the end of some of the meetings for a while. So see Kate here on the front row if you can help out. I'd forgotten all about that. Have an awesome week. There is no meeting Thursday night because we've got a lot coming up. But don't forget that prayer meeting on Friday morning, 30 minutes. And then, whoa, we are going to have an awesome weekend, aren't we? Amen. Be blessed, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.